And we're joined now by former U.S. Navy Admiral, recently retired John Kirby, who has served the government at the highest levels. President Obama appointed him as Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of Public Affairs, a title he held until the end of the Obama administration. And John Kirby, Admiral Kirby, also served as Assistant Defense Secretary under the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta. Good morning, Admiral Kirby.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and Admiral Kirby will be speaking Monday night at the Manship School, and he will be talking about classified information. The title of his speech is Classified Communications, Messaging for National Security and Foreign Affairs. And Admiral Kirby, this is a topic that has great relevance in this day. What can be revealed to the American people when we're talking about information of this kind?
It's a great question, sir, and it's one that we, at least when I was at the podium at the Pentagon and then at the State Department, it's a question we asked ourselves literally every single day. And it's a balance. You have to strike the right balance between disclosing information to the American people and to the world that is responsible and that they need to know to better understand how we're spending their tax dollars, what their troops are doing, what our diplomats are saying on their behalf, and at the same time, protect information so that you don't prejudice your ability to get intelligence in forward-looking operations and things going on in the future. And that you don't reveal to potentially adversarial nations or adversaries on the ground what you know about what they're doing. So it's a constant delicate balance. I'd say when I was in both jobs, I started my day with an intelligence briefing, my own private personal intelligence briefing, so that when I went to the podium later that afternoon, I knew where those lines were. I knew what that balance was, and I had a good sense of what was classified and what wasn't and how far I could take the discussion every day.
Well, what about the president's son-in-law who would have been denied or was denied access to intelligence information and yet got a clearance, a security clearance, because the president ordered it? Is that something that should be going on?
No, I'm very troubled by the press reporting we've seen about Mr. Kushner's clearance process, as well as apparently the clearance process for some other White House officials. Now, look, I'll be honest with you. The president is the commander-in-chief, and he always has that right and that authority to override the concerns of security officials under him and grant a clearance if he deems fit. That is perfectly within his rights, and I don't begrudge the president for exercising that authority. That said, in this case, because there were so many flags, particularly about foreign influence and the fact that Mr. Kushner could be taken advantage of by foreign countries, he had no business getting that clearance. And this is one of the reasons why, there should be and there is concern today in Washington about nepotism there in the Trump administration, of bringing family members into office with you necessarily creates a conflict of interest for the principal, in this case, President Trump. And it's something that should be very, very deeply avoided.
Well, and the president also revoked security information that traditionally goes to former people in high command on at least one occasion. Also his prerogative, but this is something that is a longstanding policy, and sometimes when people have been around, they have knowledge that is essential and vital to the security of our country. How do you see this?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, it was so vindictive, right? I mean, he just did it. He took away General Clapper's clearance, for instance, because the former director of National Intelligence was being critical of him on television, and that's just vindictive. What he's not realizing is that, yes, Clapper is a critic, but former officials like him who have these residual clearances can be value added to his policy decision-making process. The reason why they have these clearances is so that they can help advise current administration officials as they work through these very difficult issues. That it allows for current sitting members, for instance, the current DNI, Dan Coats, to be able to call up Clapper and say, hey, look, here's the problem I've got. I'm facing this issue in this part of the world. How did you deal with it? What are your thoughts? and Clapper can help inform him because he will have, again, been able to stay up on what information he was allowed to see. One thing that people don't understand is that just because you have a clearance doesn't mean you have access to all that information anymore. In order to get access to classified information, you have to have the clearance, obviously, the appropriate level, but you also have to have a need to know. And there were lots of times. I had a top-secret clearance when I was in government, and there was lots of top-secret information that I wasn't allowed to see or read because, as a spokesman, it wasn't necessary to my job. I didn't have a need to know that stuff. So it all comes back to balance. And I just feel like when it comes to the treatment of classified information, President Trump has lost a sense of balance.
Now, in the Mueller report, which is yet to be revealed, disclosed, many portions may be redacted because of classified concerns. At least that's the given statement from the Justice Department. Is that valid? Or I don't recall anything being omitted from the Starr report when it was admitted in all its glory to the American people. Why would the Mueller report be different?
Well, I'm not an expert on either report. I would tell you that I'm not troubled at all when I hear that it's possible that elements of the Mueller report will be redacted for national security purposes. That doesn't bother me at all. When you think about the nature of what Mr. Mueller was investigating, that he was investigating the degrees to which and the extent to which, A, Russia interfered in our domestic electoral process in 2016, and B, the degree to which anyone on the Trump campaign assisted or coordinated in that effort. You can imagine, just given that as his mandate, that there's probably going to be intelligence-related information gathering sources and methods that could be wrapped up into that kind of investigation. So it doesn't surprise me that they're thinking about redactions for that purpose, and frankly, I think that's the responsible thing to do. It's not because I don't want the American people to see as much of the Mueller report as possible. I agree with lawmakers who want this made as public as possible, but I think, again, back to need to know and preserving our ability to gather intelligence going forward. Because, look, the Russians are not stopping. They tried to interfere in the 2018 midterms, and I think we can all expect that they're going to try to interfere in our 2020 presidential election. So if there's information in that Mueller investigation that can help us thwart those efforts, then I think we need to protect that information.
Our guest for a few more minutes is retired Admiral John Kirby. He is a frequent CNN commentator and former Assistant Secretary of Defense and Assistant Secretary of State. He'll be in Baton Rouge Monday at the Holiday Forum of the LSU Journalism Building, 6:30. And his topic is, of course, vital and relevant in today's world, classified communications, messaging for national security and foreign affairs. A few more minutes with Admiral Kirby, and your number is 877-217-5757. This is Talk Louisiana on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. And retired Admiral John Kirby is in our midst for a few more minutes, and he will be at the Manship School 6:30 Monday night at the Journalism School as part of the Holiday Forum series, and he will be speaking about classified communications, messaging for national security and foreign affairs. How would you rate this administration thus far on how it's handling defense, Admiral Kirby?
You know, I think it's a mixed bag, to be honest with you. I like that the administration has been very strident on pushing back on China's incursions into the South China Sea. I like that this administration has really tried to pursue dialogue with North Korea to try to stem their nuclear program and to roll that back. I think the focus on diplomacy and the negotiations, while they have not been fruitful to this point, I think it's a good approach, and I've said many times that I think of all the national security issues that they've been dealing with, they've dealt the most professionally with that one. That said, by the way, I think that they've been on the right side of history generally with respect to what's going on in Venezuela. I worry that they may be boxing themselves into a corner by being so bellicose about what Russia's doing there, and by saying Maduro has to go, the president of Venezuela. But in general, I think they've handled that pretty well. That said, I have been deeply critical of their approach to the Middle East peace process. Moving the embassy to Jerusalem was an unnecessary, in my view, blunder to trying to advance a peace process. They have put their thumb on the scale so heavily on the side of the Israelis that they have alienated the Palestinians to the point where they're not going to have any credibility at any sort of negotiation table, in my view. I don't agree with the president's decisions on Syria and pulling so many troops out and then sort of wavering on what he's going to do there. He has sent some terrible signals to Russia, to Assad, to Turkey, and frankly to our Syrian Democratic Force allies on the ground.
All right, let's try to get at least one call in for Admiral Kirby. Patsy in Denham Springs has been waiting patiently. Patsy, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. And primarily I wanted to tell Admiral Kirby that I really enjoy seeing him on and hearing him on CNN. He does such an excellent job of explaining things that I know nothing about. So I assume he's doing an excellent job. And I wonder if he could attempt to explain the difference between collusion and no conspiracy with the Russian government.
All right. That's an interesting question, one that is pertinent. Admiral?
I'm sorry. You broke up there.
As far as the difference between collusion and conspiracy, is there a distinction, or is there a distinction without a difference?
It's a distinction without a difference. I mean, collusion is the phrase that we've been using sort of colloquially here in the United States about this. But it really does mean, when we talk about Russian collusion, we talk about the Trump campaign allegedly colluding. What we mean is that they were in a deliberate conspiracy to help the Russians help Trump. And I think there's been that word collusion has sort of been polluted the way we've used it. But it really does mean the essence of a criminal conspiracy to coordinate with the Russians to affect the election.
Well, Admiral Kirby, thank you for your service to our country. And we look forward to seeing you, and glad you're coming this way Monday night, 6:30 at the Manship School of Mass Communication, Classified Communications, Messaging for National Security and Foreign Affairs. Thank you, Secretary Kirby.
I'm very much excited to get down there. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.